Well, hey there, everybody. Welcome back to Cambridge Inside Out. This is July 1st, 2025. It's amazing how often I get the decade off, but I got it right this time. Blew off the last couple of weeks. We're just getting started with doing the Harvard Summer School. So, things get a little bit busy there. But there are some things I certainly want to mention today. One is, I guess, sort of under the category of comings and goings. So just sort of point out, since, as everybody knows, I follow, all the various agendas of the Cambridge City Council, and not so much school committee, but more, and but just general civic affairs. Had a really good time at the Cambridge River Festival, where I saw my friend Ducky Down, who has been working for like 50 years. I don't know. I forget it, but a very, very long time for the Cambridge Department of Public Works, probably over 50 years. And I heard he was retiring. I noticed there was a city council resolution honoring his retirement. So, fairly well, Ducky. Very much a good man. Also notice that Joe Grassi, former school committee member and Cambridge police officer, also, there was a resolution congratulating him on his retirement. I remember him when he first joined the school committee and also when he first joined the police force. And now everybody's retiring but me, right? I think it's also worth noting that at last night's, actually prior to last night's Cambridge City Council meeting, there was a little festivities honoring Charlie Sullivan, who's not retiring, thankfully, of the Cambridge Historical Commission. But they were honoring him. It was supposed to happen last year, but something came up that, that messed things up. Honoring him for his 50 years of service to the city of Cambridge. So, in a sort of an odd thing, kind of like when I went to my 16th high school reunion, which was the only one I ever went to until my 50th high school reunion. So they were honoring Charlie for his 51 years of service yesterday. It was great, actually, meeting a lot of the people who've known Charlie for a very long time, including a lot of the people who've served on Historical Commission and some of the Neighborhood Conservation District commissions and things with whom Charlie would work in his role as executive director of the Cambridge Historical Commission. And by the way, Charlie and Susan Maycock were the ones who put together the 5 volumes of the Survey of Architectural History of Cambridge, which I've got multiple copies if anybody ever wants to borrow any of them, which are just absolutely, they really are the best histories. And I think when Charlie started out to do a revision of Volume 4, which was Old Cambridge, I think that's kind of how it worked out, that it turned into his whole Building Old Cambridge, which is this tome, this like gigantic book. But it's great. And anyway, if anybody is, if you've never been on a historically themed walk with Charlie Sullivan, you've missed a lot. And so you should keep an eye out for that because there will be others. Another person who is retiring in a few days is currently Deputy City Manager Owen O'Riordan. Owen was pre he, I think he started out working in the Department of Public Works. He became a city engineer, and then became Commissioner of Public Works. And then when there was a transition at the city manager level, they asked Owen to come over and serve in that role of deputy city manager. He served as an interim city manager while we were waiting for our current city manager, Yian Huang, to assume the role. And he was a perfect person for the transition since he was incredibly familiar with all the city departments, which is really great if you have a city manager coming from the outside who's not necessarily so familiar. So anyway, fare thee well, Owen. You very much deserve your retirement. I'll miss you. Now, another bit of business that's kind of big news, this being a municipal election year, is that today, July 1st, is the first day that nomination papers became available for people who are interested in seeking election to either the Cambridge City Council or the Cambridge School Committee. Let me just say up front that I am one of those people who is so interested. I got my little packet today and all the various other stuff here in the show and tell, etc. I haven't absolutely decided whether I'm going to, turn them in, but probably will. But I thought maybe what I do is just mention, and again, when the election commission was right down the street from me, until recently, I could just essentially roll out of bed and go and get updates on who the various candidates are who had pulled nomination papers. A little harder now. I have to go walk into Central Square to do it, but that's still not so far. So most of the people who pulled nomination papers so far are people who I were expected to. Certainly some incumbents like Denise Simmons, Kathy Zusi, Sumbul Siddiqui, Jeevan Sabrina Wheeler, Aisha Wilson, and Mark McGovern. Dana Bollister, who ran to not last time around, but the time before, let me know that she was going to be a candidate a while back. A fellow named Scott Hannon, who lives in and around Central Square, had been posting on Nextdoor Cambridge that he was going to be a candidate, and we'll see if he follows through or not. But he certainly did pull papers today, as we say. A fellow named Nicholas Cauchy, who I've met actually even 2 years ago as a candidate, spent some time over his house. A delightful fellow lives out on Huron Avenue. I'm a little surprised to see his name, but he actually pulled papers. And again, remember, just because you pull nomination papers doesn't necessarily mean that you turn them in, but I was very happy to see his name there. Also, John Hanratty, who was a candidate 2 years ago, I think will follow through and turn in papers by the end of the month. July 31st is the deadline for getting in your minimum of 50 and maximum of 100 signatures. And then there's me, who's, that's just me. What can I say? On the school committee, one incumbent has so far pulled papers to run is David Weinstein. I don't know who Ann Coburn is, but I had heard some rumor that somebody was going to run for school committee out of East Cambridge, so I guess that might be the person. I was very interested and very pleased to see Jane Hershey's name in there. I first met Jane probably 30 years ago when I was spending a lot of time as the compost man for Cambridge, delivering backyard composters, and she was starting what's called City Sprouts, I think is the name of the organization. And in fact, let me actually just sort of go over to candidate pages here. So it's 30 years later, but there's Jane. And there she is sitting around planters, which it seems thoroughly appropriate. I met her a long, long time ago in her role with City Sprouts. So anyway, I was very, very pleased to see her running. So that's, it's important that voters have choices. So whenever I see people stepping up to be candidates, good people, I'm always really, really pleased. So, it was a great thing to see. So, and anyway, not a whole lot more to say about that, we'll see. It was early in the game. I actually went by there early afternoon, and I'm sure there were a few more people who pulled papers today for both city council and school committee. We'll see how it goes. I do know of a few people who intend to run, some of whom have been public about it, some of whom have not, have chosen not yet to be public about it, and I'm respecting that. So it'll be interesting to see how the coming weeks shape up in terms of who chooses to throw their hat in the ring to be candidates. And I'll say something, and not to infuriate anybody here, but I'm going to say, and again, I'm not speaking here as a candidate. I'm speaking more as a citizen here right now, and just to say that, the let's call it the trichotomy of political organizations in this city. I'd say really more like four. I'm just not particularly thrilled with the way it's shaping up. We have the ABC people portray themselves as the only people who care about housing, which is not true. They do care about density, lots and lots of density, but and then the Cambridge Citizens Coalition, which is a much more of a has a much more moderate view about things, and certainly stresses historic preservation. They are often seen as sort of, black and white, Yankees versus the Confederates, Hatfields, McCoys. But it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me, honestly. And then there's, of course, the bike people, the Cambridge Bike Safety Group, who are very well funded and sort of militant in the way they go about their business. And they will want to basically make sure that they elect people who are going to give them take care of them on their one issue, which is separated bike lanes. There is a fourth entity which I think is worth mentioning, especially in light of what happened in New York City, which is that we do have a kind of a local little bubbling up of a Democratic Socialists of America. Remember, local elections in Cambridge are nonpartisan elections. There are no parties, no party designations. You do not run as a member of a party. But in recent years, some candidates, most notably the people who are DSA affiliated, do like to sort of announce themselves as DSA people, and even though we have nonpartisan elections. So I'm guessing that even though I'm not a fan of them at all, but I would imagine with Mr. Mamdani's, he wasn't elected yet, but in the mayoral election using ranked choice voting, just like well, not exactly the same system as we use in Cambridge, but won the Democratic nomination. Today, actually, they did the runoffs and it's all official. I think it's something like 56 to 44% in the final tally over Andrew Cuomo, former Governor Andrew Cuomo. And I think many people, I think, are correctly saying that there are a lot of people who are of the kind of socialist mindset who are viewing this as sort of a watershed moment, or somebody said they're established a beachhead at Normandy, where they want to take over Europe. But, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if the Democratic Socialist brand became kind of a theme for a few candidates. I know of at least one who thoroughly, actually at least two, who thoroughly identify by their that designation. So we'll see. So is this just going to be kind of a repeat on steroids of ABC, CCC, Cambridge Bike Safety, and the Democratic Socialists of America? Or are we going to look at the individuals involved, please, and just ignore a lot of that other stuff because there actually are some good people who are on both slates. Honestly, one of my very, very best friends and favorite political people is a full-time endorsee of the ABC group, even though I'm not a big fan of the ABC group. And then I don't know. I'm just going to say it, is I, part of the reason why I put together the started putting together the Cambridge candidate pages 20 plus years ago was basically to remove the influence of organizations and money and whatever so that voters could just find out, it's sort of, I call it speed dating for candidates. You can just find out who the individuals are. And if they happen to be supported by organizations, great. That may help get them elected or whatever. But I certainly have always encouraged people to just get to know the candidates, who they really are, and not what, and I might add, and not what some people say they are, right? And hopefully this will be a pleasant experience for all the candidates involved this year, and we'll see how it shakes out. So anyway, that was one thing I wanted to say. I was going to mention about the New York City matter because, a lot of times people, because we've been using ranked choice voting, though we use proportional representation, which is different than what they do in New York, where what they're doing is they're using ranked balloting in order to elect one person, whereas we elect multi-member bodies proportionally elected. I could say a lot more about the question of proportionality here, but let's not. Some wise person said, "Has anybody from the press called you, Robert?" Because people often will call me, sort of ask about ranked choice voting because I'm sort of the mathematical guy who knows a lot about Cambridge elections. And truth is that no, nobody's been calling about it lately. So I think maybe ranked choice voting is starting to become sufficiently familiar around now that nobody feels the need to sort of, start Googling around trying to discover some wizard who supposedly has answers for them because that maybe they don't need that anymore. At least that's kind of been my growing sense of things. All right. So what was the next thing I was going to talk about? So some minor things, then we'll get back to some major things. You know, there was some very interesting. I mean, I live in mid Cambridge, so and though I try to pay attention to everything around the entire city, it's fair to say that, like most everybody, I'm a little more aware of what happens in mid Cambridge or Central Square than I am other parts of the city. But one thing I do find interesting is that infrastructure questions. And there was a city council order. Well, I'm not going to get into all the particulars about it, but it was early in June, having to do with the a rec asking for the MBTA, the DCR, and various agencies and property owners up around the Alewife T station to make sure that in whatever shakes out in terms of redevelopment of the area or reconstruction of the garages or what have you, is that they take care of some of the sewer overflows that have been plaguing the areas for ages. Now, I took issue with some of the specifics of the order because they basically were demanding that they should completely eliminate all the overflows. And I asked a hydrologist who just happens to be the deputy city manager right now. I said, "Is that actually physically possible?" And he said, "No, it isn't." So, you know, I think what they did, they had kind of a dream that they were going to create a whole nother second artificial wetland out there and that they were going to be able to remediate all possible sewer overflows. And I just, without even having all the engineering stuff in front of me, I just intuitively said, no, I don't think that's exactly possible. But what is possible is upstream of that is doing further separations of septic and storm sewer so that if there are overflows, the amount of actual septage that gets out into the Alewife or in overflow events will be minimal. You know, and that's not cheap, and it's a long-term plan anyway. There are engineering solutions, including additional pump capacity to sort of clear out the brook and whatever, or to convey the sewage to treatment facilities. But so I think in the end, they amended the city council order basically to include a clause saying to do whatever is reasonable and feasible, essentially. And I thought, okay, that's good. You know, so you send the message, say, we really, really want this. It's a high priority. And you try and get as close to the ideal as possible, you know, which may not please the idealists, but I think it appeals to the realists, like myself. So, anyway, another thing that amongst several things that are, I think, relevant for up around that neck of the woods was that, I mean, I remember decades ago people talking about wanting to build. Because of there had been some fatalities of people running across the railroad tracks, and not just at Sherman Street, which is a grade crossing, but just people who were living in and around Ridge Towers wanting to go over to the shopping center, and they didn't want to go up and over the automobile vehicle bridge, so they just ran across the tracks. And you know, sometimes people misjudge how fast commuter rail trains really go. Or maybe they try and, you know, they do something daring or something like that. Anyway, so people talked about putting a bridge over there a long, long time. I remember people from North Cambridge Stabilization Committee and others really were insistent on it. But the sort of difficulty is that if you wanted to build a bridge over the railroad tracks, it had to be ADA compliant. And to make it ADA compliant, it required ramps that were hysterically long. And, it ran the costs up. And you know, honestly, when you make the ramps so long to do that, people say, well, I don't want to do that. I'm just going to run across the tracks, in which case you haven't really solved anything. Well, anyway, for whatever reason, maybe different source of federal funds, apparently the city council did sort of move forward on at least funding for a, you know, engineering study, you know, to sort of draw plans for this. But even Owen O'Riordan, deputy city manager, did point out though that you know, especially in this day where federal funding is being cut, we don't actually have the money to build it yet, but we at least are getting, you know, a plan in place, and there have been some contributions from neighboring developments, for at least set up the staging for where a bridge could go. So is it possible we might actually see a bridge come get built over the railroad tracks in my lifetime? Apparently it's a possibility. Some people have said maybe they should build a tunnel under the tracks, and I thought, well, maybe that's cheaper and easier. But I got to tell you, there's something scary about tunnels. You know, when you sort of bike in there and you don't know who's in the tunnel and whatever, and you know, unless there's some that's tied to some high volume, high traffic area where there's a lot of eyes on the site. I don't know that that would necessarily be a particularly great solution. So anyway, thought I'd mention it since it does sort of fit into the category of sort of generally speaking infrastructure. One thing I would say, I'm just sort of skipping through a little bit, but one thing that was interesting, there was a, you know, because the immigration people, the ICE, you know, the enforcement people have actually been snatching people, I mean, going into places and grabbing people. And there was some concern because I think somebody happened to say that somebody got snagged upon being released out of the Cambridge police station. I think had been arrested on a shoplifting charge or whatever. And there was at least some sort of suggestion that somehow the police should have, basically tackled the ICE agents. I'm just kidding now, right? But to prevent federal agents from carting somebody off. So the police commissioners made and the law department, Megan Mayer, our excellent, very excellent city solicitor, made it quite clear that certain things we can't do and maybe should not do. But there was a call in a city council order to modify the language in this, what we call the welcoming, I think it's called the Welcoming City Ordinance, which is really just the current iteration of Sanctuary City ordinance of that first was done in 1985, I think, to basically clarify exactly what the police should do or shouldn't do when faced with these situations. So some proposed language did come back at the council meeting yesterday. And I think it just gets referred to the ordinance committee. They also did a quick pass it to a second reading so they can quick get it in place because my gosh, this is so important right now. And I don't know that it really makes a whole lot of difference, quite honestly. But you know, and yeah, I actually was worried, just like with Harvard. You know, Harvard is getting a lot of funding and other funding restrictions and grants being cut off and other things. Some of the universities around the country are being asked to completely disrupt how they do business or issue statements, rename departments, because God forbid you should have the words diversity, equity, or inclusion in the name of anything. So you rename it as something. And I said, okay, fine, a name is a name. Who cares? But I'm actually worried that some of the more activist people will say, well, that's capitulation. How dare you? You shouldn't change your name. You should stand up to the federal government. My attitude is if there's a lot of money on the line and we're dependent on that money for housing, subsidies, and et cetera, swallow your pride. Change the name, take the cash, and you can call me a wuss for saying that, but I think that you got to be practical in times like these. And and if you want to make a big statement, great, but I don't think that's really the smartest move possible. Anyway, that was a relatively small thing. Another thing that was very interesting, and I don't know if I mentioned this at the last time we did one of these programs, was that when I saw the outgoing city clerk, Diane LeBlanc, on her last day on the job, so we had a nice private meeting, and she was talking about how she was pressing the city councilors to pass an electronic records archiving policy, which basically just is meant to ensure that when there's all these essential records and old and historic documents that are within the city's possession, but even more recently, the electronic records, and there has to be kind of a chain of custody and a proper archiving mechanism for these things, so that as technologies as technology changes, you're not stuck with all your records on paper tape or magnetic tape or CDs, which became DVDs, which now becomes the cloud and whatever. And I think when you're talking about vital records, especially for a historic city, it's kind of important that you kind of know that even as technologies change and media changes, that somehow all of our important records are going to remain intact. So the council did pass the policy, as of course they would, right? But I was just pleased to see that. There's another thing that happened, and it sort of went on during the entire month. There have been some appointments to certain city boards, particularly historical commission and a couple of the neighborhood conservation district commissions. Now, there's a little bit of funny business going on there, but I think the real issue here, there was one person I think was appointed to one of, I think maybe the historical commission that some people took issue with, because he had said something that maybe made it suggest that he didn't think that neighborhood conservation districts were a good thing. I actually talked with him yesterday, and he seems like a pretty regular person that is not as crazy or radical as some people are making him out to be. But we actually have some city councilors who I'll say it straight out, who I think if they had their choice, they would simply get rid of all the neighborhood conservation districts. They view them as obstructions to tearing down existing buildings that might be done in order to build bigger buildings that house more people, even if in fact a lot is lost in the process of doing that. I mean, if all, what do they say? If all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail, and some of the ABC oriented people in the city, a better Cambridge, are so hungry for packing in a maximum amount of housing, maximum amount of density that, I do think a lot of them would just as soon see any old building that wasn't super dense just be washed away, So anyway, I liked the neighborhood conservation districts and the commissions, and I like the role that the historical commission is advising. They don't have drop dead authority to just stop everything cold, but they can slow certain things down and they can advise, and they've actually done a really great job of producing better projects out of which were better than what was initially proposed. So I think it's a good thing, but so people might want to complain that there are some members of a board that would like to get rid of neighborhood conservation district commissions. Well, let me tell you, the city council is a board that has, I think, at least two people, maybe more, who would just as soon get rid of them as well. And I think that would be a real tragic mistake. But anyway, that's just my opinion on this. I'm just going to take my little artificial pause here right now because I have a few other big items I'd like to talk about. So, see you shortly on Cambridge Inside Out.